Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
And the problem for this, the problem for people who think this way, is that all their time, their money, their energy, often their doctor's energy, unfortunately, is going to be focused upon their presenting complaint. For instance, when you come in with a problem in the eye, because, say, you're developing a retinal issue, common sense dictates that your focus should go to all the things you need to do to help your eye. And every one of your questions is going to be oriented along the lines of what to do about your eye. Now, the truth is your eye is connected to your liver. The truth is that your eye is going to be negatively influenced if you cleanse your teeth at night. The truth is that if your gallbladder is plugged because your diet's been off or you've just never flushed, well, then the drainage ports of the eye are going to get clogged with mucus. And those drainage ports can increase the optic pressures. Those drainage ports can decrease the rate at which, say, the lens removes proteins it doesn't want there, thus leading to cataracts. If from a psychological standpoint, your concern about your eye has nothing to do with psyche, but from the psychological standpoint, because often during the day you're so frustrated, you end up squinting all day long or frowning all day long, the rate at which the eye, through the canal of Schlemm, drains the optic fluids leads to blockage. Now, I could go on and on and on about how your focal concern about your eye is related to dozens, if not hundreds, of other things that have nothing to do with the eye. Most importantly, the centers of the brain, and that's what we're going to get into today, the centers of the brain run the entire body. So if you have a problem with your heart, you've got to look up at the centers of the brain that control the heart. And in the end, what you realize is that the notion of a focal therapy, the notion that there's going to be a single abiding cause of your problem that relates to some therapy about the organ you're concerned about, this is a myth. And this is where people really run askew. Now, this myth abounds. Consistently, I'm going to appeal to you to look at it very, very differently. This is really what we mean by holistic. When we say holistic medicine, we mean honor what I'm about to explain. But in practice, people rarely do. Somehow, it's counterintuitive to think that the concern you have about your heart or your eye or your low back or your ovaries or your digestion, somehow it still remains extremely counterintuitive that the causes have nothing to do with the area of concern. This is why I say to you, feed the pot of health and forget about the focal concern. And I don't want to take that too extreme. It's an okay thing for you to address that problem with your eye as focal to your eye. If your optic pressures are increased and your doctor tells you you're bordering on glaucoma, well, it's one thing to take eye drops to reduce that optic pressure. But as is almost always the case, those eye drops have a limited effect. And so people then go to the second and third focal therapy for the eye, leading to surgery, and then another surgery, canaloplasties, I'm just using the eye as an example, but you can do this with any one of your concerns. It starts with therapy one, focal to your concern, and it keeps moving along there until you start to get to extreme focal therapies, instead of understanding that everything is connected to everything, and usually up in the head is a message that that organ isn't getting. And unless we look at it that way and the myriad of causes and the infinite number of interrelations, we don't move the ball. Now, that's the real holistic model. Well, if that's the case, then why do most people spend time trying to pick the herb that's right for their symptom, you see? I find that people will nod their head and say, yes, that sounds like a great holistic perspective. Now, what herb should I take for my atrial fibrillation or for my eye issue? Or what herb should I take for my joint pain? And again, it's proving what I'm trying to say. We don't really understand how everything is connected to everything and how the head runs the feet. Well, let's dive into this concept today. If you get to the website, that's straighttalk.cc, not .com, I've got today's show, 377, I've got 14 pictures. All right, now here's 14 pictures. And the picture I want you to take a look at first, it's just a general one. Let's take a look at picture number 9. And that's the side of someone's head. It's a sagittal cut into someone's head. And there's a couple of things you want to look at in that picture if you're on the website. If you're not, get to it as soon as you can. And take a look at the show and study it. And take a look at the pituitary gland. Take a look at the hypothalamus and take a look at the pineal gland. Now, if you're not getting cooperation between those three glands, and what does that mean? Then what's ever going on in your heart that you want to correct, focal to the heart, is sort of a futile therapy, semi-futile. That heart is receiving messages from those three centers that direct everything that the body's going to do in the natural mechanism of life to regenerate the heart, to correct the imbalance, long before perhaps you even know there is an imbalance. Definitely once you do know there's an imbalance, those three centers are working hard to do so. Now, hard in what way? Well, the glandular system, the endocrine system, is controlled by hypothalamus, pituitary, and pineal. And one picogram, one tiny infinitesimal drop of what those glands secrete, controlled by the hypothalamus and the pituitary and the pineal, has a massive effect on the physiology of the cell. So if your heart, we'll use the heart now, not the eye. If your heart is in some state of disarray, you're going into congestive heart failure. You're plaquing up extensively into the coronary artery. The valves of the heart, mitral and aortic, are starting to become regurgitant. They're starting to become stenotic. Your rhythms are such that your cardiologist is concerned, and thus perhaps a pacemaker is on the way. You've got some sort of cardiomyopathy, meaning just degeneration of the heart tissue. It may be infectiously related, and nobody can seem to stop the progression. See, I just listed a bunch of issues people deal with the heart. We could go on to cardiovascular system, but the point is, when you're just looking at the heart and not understanding that the glands that are going to affect the regenerative capacities of the heart are controlled by the hypothalamus, pituitary, and pineal, well, then you can see why you've got to go outside focal therapy to get where you have to go. Now, let's take a closer look at these tissues. Let's take a look at the pineal. Let's take a look at the hypothalamus. I want you to go to picture 12. Actually, picture 11 would do you better. Those of you driving in the car or those unable to get to the site, do it later. straighttalk.cc. Show 377. Right now, what we're describing, what some of you are looking at, and for the rest I'll describe, is a blow-up of the relationship, the picture between the pituitary gland sitting in the sphenoid bone of the cranium, attached to that part of the brain we call the hypothalamus. And the hypothalamus then, in this picture, that's a Frank Netter picture, wonderful, brilliant medical illustrator, that hypothalamus is divided into its various nuclei, meaning each one of those different colored sections of the hypothalamus does a different thing. Each one of those different colored sections is getting different types of messages through your nerves, through your autonomic nerves, and we'll get to that in a second, connecting to those different colored areas, and then from those different colored areas, commands, again, through the nerves, the ingoing nerves that bring in the sensory information and the outgoing nerves that tell your cell what to do. In this case, that tells the heart cell what to do. It's centered right there in that junction box. Suppose that junction box not working. Suppose something happens to it. Suppose its encasement. Suppose its encasement through the sphenoid bone is dysregulated, and the incoming messages and the outgoing messages get skewed. Suppose the incoming messages are skewed to begin with, because the wires going in, the autonomic nerves going in and out, are also not transmitting correctly. So the concept here for you to understand, whether you're talking about the heart, the eye, the nose, the ears, the lungs, the kidneys, the testicles, the ovaries, the uterus, the bladder, the small intestine, the large intestine, the liver, the gallbladder, the concept here for you to understand is that you can focus on the cell of the organ in question. So today we're talking about, well, for momentarily, we're talking about the heart. You can focus on the heart. Doctor, what do I do about my heart? I heard I have heart problems. The testing said I have heart disease. It's ensuing. I don't want it to get worse. What can I do? Or do I need an operation, a surgery, because it's gotten that bad? We can focus on that, or we can understand that long before, during, and after you apply your focal therapy, what you didn't apply, what's been overlooked, is that there are sensory messages, nerves picking up information in and around your heart that are going up to the brain. Are they being transmitted correctly? And then processed in the hypothalamus, is that happening correctly? And then are the outgoing messages being transmitted correctly, if at all? Now look at that. If you can appreciate that, you can understand then the point why the head runs the feet and why focal therapy is often useless. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I am a health practitioner. I am a doctor. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Take a look at 377 hours. Doesn't cost you anything to do that. And listen to the concepts behind how the body heals. Listen to the concepts and the strategies and the perspectives, the perceptions necessary to take yourself to a higher level of health. Because that's the way it works. It doesn't really work the other way. We have hundreds and thousands and millions of sick Americans, and they don't heal to their expectations because the perspectives are off. They have been fed. You have been fed the wrong concepts. And even if you get an alternative perspective, do you get an alternative perspective that sticks during the storm of health? And this is my point to you. You may buy into the fact that a focal therapy is going to be limited, but will that weather the storm during the course of healing? For that, you must have knowledge. And so I share with you today, as an opener, this thing about incoming sensory information through the nerves to the hypothalamus with this infinite number of compartmentalizations, nuclei, which process this information and then feed it back to the organ in question. Now, that's the way a holistic perspective works in reality. So in reality, then, we have to consider what can go wrong. But before I go there, I want you to take a look at a couple of other things. If you can, go to picture number 4. And that's a great blow up of what we know, what the neuroanatomists already know. We've dug out the fibers of the autonomic sensory nerves that go up and into the hypothalamus. We got it mapped out. And we know for a fact the pathways, we studied this, that the outgoing messages through the vagus nerves, particularly the vagus nerve, the parasympathetic nerve, we know those tracks. We've dissected them out time and time and time and time and time again. So we're positive about the inflow and the outflow. And there's a great picture. Telling you what? Telling you that when stress hits a certain level, so that the sympathetic nerves predominate the sensory information, there's no way you can get intelligent counsel to the cells of the organ in question. When you go sympathetic dominant, your parasympathetic inflow and outflow does not work. So you with the tumor that's at a loss to stop its growth, that threatens your life, that deprives you and your loved ones of a long, healthy, vibrant existence, seeking both allopathic and holistic remedy for the onslaught of a metastatic cancer, and substitute it with your own concern, are left subjugate, are enslaved by the fact that the messages going out of the hypothalamus from the tumor, those messages that might otherwise direct to healing, those messages are screwed. There's the pathway. We have it worked out. We know that the normal physiology, the normal mechanism of health can be preempted, can be taken off the air and substituted with sympathetic dominant cacophony or chaos. For instance, those parasympathetic nerves, the parasympathetic outflow from the hypothalamus gland, controls the immune system. There's one of many things that implicates. Much disease is a balance between the energy that the body has to give to fight the dysregulation and the energy that the body has left to regenerate healthy cells. So if your heart's falling apart, if your eye's falling apart, if you have a tumor growing, your body is spending a great deal of energy in the interest of doing what it has to do to neutralize disease. But the piece that has to do with regenerating fresh cells, well, the body doesn't have energy, any energy left when all the impulses are mediating from the more aggressive sympathetic nerve tracts. So this sympathetic-parasympathetic balance, the part of the nervous system that heals, the parasympathetic nerves, mediated through the vagus nerve, intersecting up in the hypothalamus, has everything to do whether your feet heal, or your knees, or your ovaries, or your uterus, or your pancreas, or your intestines, or your heart, or your lungs, or your eyes, or your ears, or your nose, or your throat. Why the head runs the feet, and why focal therapy is often useless. I have to say this to you in many different ways consistently, because it's my experience that the hordes of the public are concerned with the focal issue. I want an answer to what I want an answer to, because my eye hurts. Or my heart hurts. And if I get an answer based upon focus of something very central to the issue, meaning my heart hurts, what are you going to do for my heart? If I listen to that language, and if I am asked to do things to address the focal concern, well, I can kind of buy that. And when the drugs are no longer effective or a surgery is not warranted, and I'm left with, I got to do something for my heart. I'll buy into. I'm John Q. Public. I will buy into the understanding, the notion that I've got to do something outside drugs and surgery for my heart. But just talk to me about my heart. That is a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke that you've bought that will cost you. Don't do that. Here's one powerful, powerful, deep explanation as to why. Again, your heart is under the control of your head through these nerves. And if you're, I'll give you one example, sympathetic dominant. If your stress fibers are firing at the expense of your parasympathetic fibers via the vagus nerve, those cells will never regenerate. You can't heal unless the head organizes the show. All right, moving right along. Well, this was understood, picture 10. Ancient medicine. Got to remember, my fascination with ancient medicine and what I suggest you fascinate yourself with if you're interested in health, truly interested in health, not this myopic contemporary version, holistic or allopathic. We are not on the right track. We are not. Holistic medicine has watered itself down in the name of explaining to the public what they understand on their level, which is just a shuffling of allopathic models. So you're not really getting holistic medicine. The ancients didn't do this. So if you look at picture 10, this is pre-dynastic Egypt. This is Egypt before Egyptian. And this was a time when the world was far more pure than it is today. It's a time when the ecosystems, the prevailing ecosystems, think of the ecosystem 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago. Think of the ecosystems, think of nature, the purity, the sanctity at the beginning of time. Think. What was it to regenerate a tissue then as compared to now? And these wisdoms that remain in the scriptures, in the literature, in the Sanskrit, in the hieroglyphics, in the Aramaic, so on and so forth. They say things that are fascinating. Picture 10 is an example. They're taking a sagittal cut of the brain and superimposing the eye of Horus over it and it's suggesting that ancient Egypt, pre-dynastic Egypt, see The Pyramid Code, Episode 4, Carmen Bolter, archaeologist out of Calgary, classically trained, brilliant professor. See it. Don't listen to the show again until you see it and understand it. Basically stating, and we all know this, that the pre-dynastic Egyptians lived with an understanding that your life was about straightening out these alignments between hypothalamus, pituitary, and pineal. That all your exercise, did you exercise today, Jack? Oh, yes. I exercised to straighten out my alignment and my balances between hypothalamus, pituitary, and pineal so that I could have a radiant, godly existence. Take that to the bank. Take what I just said to the bank. After that, put your hand on the phone and call this number. If you're lost in the labyrinth of health, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. Pick the phone up. Do it now. If you're lost, give my office a call. Come in ready to listen and activate. All right, gang, we will see you next week. God bless. Okay, part two. Bumpy start there on part one, but we got it rolling. I at least began my point. And my point to you today, all of you, is very simple. If you have a concern, write it down and take a look at it. And when you're asked, or when you ask anyone, any counselor, any doctor, anybody, what to do about it, understand that most of what there is to do about it is not specifically related to the organ or the focal concern. I had a woman come in here in her 70s a number of months ago with a prolapsed bladder. Her bladder had prolapsed, and because it had prolapsed, guys, that means a woman sticks her hand up her vaginal canal and feels this big lump. And she presses into the lump. And lo and behold, she finds out that that lump, no, it's not a tumor. That lump up inside the vaginal canal is her urinary bladder that's prolapsed. It's not hanging in the right place in the lower abdominal cavity. And it's collapsing itself into her vaginal wall. Now, generally, in medicine, that begins the stupidest, most asinine litany of diagnoses and therapies known to man. I mean, it's just pathetic. Ladies, if you want to get pissed off about something, get pissed off about how your prolapses are treated. At any rate, this woman goes through the entire slew of therapies to deal with this thing. Some of which are good, the other half of which are insane. But she gets the surgery to put the bladder back in place. But a number of years later, she ends up getting these chronic urinary tract infections. And her life becomes hell. And they go on and on and on. And then, of course, as what always happens, the bladder and the infections in the bladder, E. coli and the whole host of others, all these infections become antibiotic resistant, and now she lives with these chronic bacterial infections in this prolapsed bladder. And she comes to see me, and I tell her, I say, Harriet, her name's not Harriet, Harriet, you have to lose about 60 or 70 pounds. This begins a nervous breakdown on her behalf. Meaning, I humbly suggest, and in a very respectful way, that she's got to lose about 70 pounds. She's a good 70 pounds overweight. And I said, you've got to go back to where it was when you were first married. And then I explained to her that with the weight, as some of you listening to the show might know, the psoas muscle shortens and moves anterior. And once it's anterior, it crushes the bladder. In fact, it was the psoas muscle displaced anteriorly because of the weight gain that ultimately forced the prolapse. This woman had never had an episiotomy. She didn't have any children. And so between no episiotomy because of no children, no cesarean, there's no reason for a bladder to prolapse, but her bladder pushes its way through her vaginal wall, and she's got a grade 2 prolapse. Grade 3 prolapse that was operated on and put back to like a grade 2 prolapse. At a grade 5, it's hanging out your vagina, if you don't know what that means. So just imagine that. Your fingers a quarter of an inch up the vagina, and it's feeling like there's something in it, and it's your urinary bladder. That ain't good. So I humbly explained to her, and gently, and made sure that I did, that you've got to lose the weight to give the bladder room. And this becomes an outrage. It wasn't an outrage based upon any disrespectful explanation. You know, hey, you know, you're fat, you got to lose weight. No. I'm far too seasoned for any of that to occur. The session went on along the lines of, we're good people having a good conversation about what to do. But my point is, this individual was so stuck on focal therapy that ultimately she became enraged, exasperated at the explanation. This, guys, is the way people are. This is the way you will tend to be. I want to destroy that. I don't want you doing this. And yet, when the chips are down and you're in pain, this is what you do. So there's another explanation. A person's got what's termed a prolapsed bladder. That prolapse has been operated on. That operation, which wasn't half bad, it helped, is nonetheless leaving this individual enslaved and tortured by chronic UTIs. She's up 10 times a night urinating. 4 times a night is a good night's sleep. Imagine that, up 4 times a night because of a UTI, and it's chronic, and that's a good night. How do you live? How do you function without sleep? So we get into then, I want you to understand this, it's a perfect illustration of what you are not to do. You are not to do this. I don't know. I really just don't know how else to get this across to you. But you fight this. You all fight this. You cannot fight it. It is what will keep you sick forever. You have to feed the pot of health and get rid of the focal therapy. I want to know what to do about my infection, my bladder infection, but how are we focusing on the infection? What does this have to do with dropping weight? What does this have to do with an anteriorly displaced psoas muscle? Has everything to do with it. So dropping weight had to do with balancing blood sugar, and balancing blood sugar had to do with changing diet. And balancing blood sugar from changing diet would bring the insulin resistance down and allow this individual to burn fat faster, to lose weight faster, something that this individual couldn't do. In her own admission, no matter what, according to her, she did, for a completely unrelated concern, weight loss, she couldn't lose weight. And I knew that because she told me, but saying balance your blood sugar, the focus was, what does this have to do with my infection? And you can apply this to everything and everybody in every way. You watch people suffer with diseases, cancers, autoimmune diseases, and go off into all sorts of dark labyrinths, looking for some therapy to go after some chemical or some infection that the body would handle easily, that the body would take care of gladly if you just balanced out your autonomic nerves. Part of it is you have to get educated to understand beyond the rhetoric what it means to balance the autonomic nerves. But I got to tell you, that is not enough. I've worked for too long with too many intelligent people who have to have some understanding of what I'm talking about. And yet, when they go out and they work with it, they don't know anything. It's like they studied it in Greek and they don't speak or read Greek. And that, my friends, is you. It is you. And you have to take a better look at this. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, admit that to yourself and seek deeper, better counsel, not just with me, with anybody. The terms that I'm using for you on this show, you are not going to hear. Not in a functional way, in the marketplace. It's why most of you do listen to this. You have some sense that something novel is going on here. And you are correct, but I ask you to do more because it's not going to cut it. Understanding a term, if that's even understood, understanding what an anteriorly displaced psoas is wonderful. But what good is that going to do you if you haven't stretched sufficiently to feel the psoas relax and the abdominal cavity open up until you lie on your back, put your arms over your head, pull your belly in, and watch your entire abdominal cavity go deeply concave. Until you have that experience, you won't really understand what it is to balance and to transition an incompetent psoas to a competent psoas muscle. Now, what this is going to have to do with your bladder infection is everything, everything. Sleep. You have a brain tumor and you're not sleeping. You have a congestive heart failure and you're not sleeping. You have an autoimmune disease and you're not sleeping. You want to work on your autoimmune disease. You are way more likely to put your time, your money, and your energy into some idiotic explanation of what we're going to do focal to your concern about your lupus or about your congestive heart failure. And somebody is going to pick your pocket by spinning some complicated yarn because we, the doctors, have the education. You don't. So how do you really know what you're listening to, you see? We're going to spin some complicated yarn about that infection that we're going to divine off testing and therapeutic insight and wisdom, some incredible remedy for. And it's going to go in there and it's going to nail that infection myth. Or some nutritional deficiency. We're going to put it on the backside of magnesium. Oh, that magnesium deficiency. And these things in the context then in which these are presented to you appeals to you. I found out, did you know, Charlie, I've got this nanobacterial infection. You know, there's something about that in the literature, this mycoplasmic infection that some great muscle tester told me I had and that I saw on some microscope, and they've given me this special homeopathic remedy or some herb imported from some tropical place that nobody even knows exists. It's been processed like people processed herbs millions of years ago, and I'm going to take that. Then I found out that I had cadmium in my bone marrow. Did you know cadmium is one of the leading causes of neurodegeneration? And it's something that my medical doctor, because that's who I usually go to in the end, my medical doctor is telling me I'm neurodegenerating and there are no known causes, but at least this guy told me about the cadmium. So I've got the cadmium for this, and I'm going to do that for that. And I've got this infection, and then I've got the cadmium and the infection, and then I have this mineral deficiency, germanium. Germanium and zinc are deficient. And when germanium and zinc are deficient, then I'm going to not really be able to process my iron because my HCL is low. And oh my God, that is what I'm talking about. And in the meantime, you run into this guy a year later. And 1 year later, he's not sleeping. 1 year later, he's no more flexible than he was. 1 year later, he's still living sympathetic dominant. 1 year later, he hasn't felt and experienced uric acid and calcium oxalate bleeding through his kidneys out the tip of his penis during a cleanse. He's never seen bile. His pHs are still horrid. He still hates his life. He doesn't even know he has a wife. And so on and so forth. And who has told him, take your cadmium issues and your mineral deficiencies, take this notion of your infection, take it all and stuff it, because you're getting milked. You see? You're getting milked. And the doctors are getting milked too. They're getting milked because they've bought into this asinine model. In the meantime, the guy doesn't know how to choose his foods. His faculties, his intuitive sensibilities have not been evolved. He's just as dumb and numb as he was the day he came in. And it's 6 months or a year later. He's not the animal. He has no concept of what it is to pull a tendon to the dura, of what it is to feel like the dura unwinds. He's still clenching his jaw and twisting his sphenoid. He hasn't done a cleanse. He hasn't done a stretch. His intuitive faculties are not in order. His sleep is still horrible. He's still living in a dump. Not that his house is dumpy. Not that his house isn't $1 million or two on the market. It's that the house is an energetically dead zone. He still works, lives, eats, sleeps, and breathes in radiation and EMF. He still thinks taking an occasional walk on the beach is going to cut it. And so on and so forth. And if you tell him for his concern about whatever his concern is, he's going to tell you that, thank you. I came to you to listen to you tell me that I should give up cigarettes and change my diet. What does this have to do? I knew all that when I came in. I wanted to know about that unheard of, that unknown viral infection that only you could find and do something about that will make the difference. Tell me a lie, because I don't want to hear the truth. This is what people do, guys. Your profile, your health profile, the place you have to transition to is based on where you, specific to you, are in transgression of natural law. Natural law says that if your head is up your backside, the only view you're going to get is from inside your rectum. That's natural law. And until you pull it out, you're going to stay trapped within it. Meaning if no one's guided you to a wider, more glorious perception of process, meaning if you don't celebrate your evolution into healing if you're not told you must. If looking into the toilet to determine whether or not you've got bile doesn't light you up, doesn't get you more passionate about your healing, you're going to fail because your head is in the wrong hole. And that, in fact, is how most people approach their healing. Most doctors, holistic doctors included, don't want to address this because it can mean war. Because our public doesn't want to hear it. You will be, as a doctor, occasionally attacked. You will not be listened to. You will be criticized. You will be told that you're not speaking a model, and you will make less money, at least initially, until you get really good at it, and then the opposite happens. Then you'll see healings. Then you'll inspire. Then you'll build audiences of people with their head on straight. But in the transition, in the cultivation of you, the doctor, the therapist, the counselor, to the point where you can learn to articulate these things in a way where you can get response, positive response, you are going to get hurt. And doctors are already vulnerable, especially holistic doctors. They don't want to get hurt. They want to protect themselves. So let's keep the public inadvertently numb and dumb. Let's just reinvent a new script. Let's give them a new script, same theme. Whether it's drugs or surgery, or homeopathic remedies based upon what's ascertained or very mystical ways of testing, whether it's one or the other, it amounts to the same thing. It's delusional. It does not produce cure. Not in the face of things that are infinitely more fundamentally important, but that are counterintuitive because we've so miseducated the public. And that's what I'm going to leave you with today. So that when somebody says, put your head on straight, open up the hypothalamus and pituitary, get the bile flowing, regulate the blood sugar until you can handle the water fast, make changes so you feel less enslaved by your personal life, take gutsy risks in your creative process, open your meridians, balance your autonomics, forget the infection, forget the diagnosis. When you hurt more, when your presenting symptom is worse, forget about it and focus on the healing. When you start doing that, you'll start healing, and nothing substitutes for those things. Those of you in my classes, pat yourselves on the back. I will be driving this home and all the nuances of it. My A class, you'll be hearing from me this week. My B class, you'll be hearing from me next week. Let's keep it going, gang. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.